Today, I want to talk to us today about the concept of Jesus at the center. But today, I want to talk to you about this issue of Jesus at the center. We're going to kind of theme and title today's talk with this talk, this title, Governed by His Word. Governed by His Word. Now, the big idea this morning is very simple. Look closely at the screen. I want you to see this very carefully. The big idea this morning is simply this. Jesus intends for His words to govern our lives. God intends for His word to govern your life. Now, I looked up the word govern. I wanted to make sure we all understood what it meant when something governs you. And some of the synonyms for govern are simply this. It means to rule, to preside over. It means to be in power over, to reign over. It means to control, to exercise control over, to have complete control over. We could say it like this. God intends for His word to preside over you. This is a tough concept for a lot of people in our era because, man, we are so independent today and there are so many cultural items today running and ruling our lives. But I want to tell you, this is a truth from the Word that never changes. God intends for His Word to preside, to rule over, to reign in our life. God intends for His Word to govern our lives. And when Jesus is at the center of your life, one of the ways you can tell is because His Word rules and governs your life. Amen. And why does this matter? I'm going to answer this question this morning. Why does it matter that Jesus intends for His word to govern your life? Well, here's the truth. His word is the standard for faith and living. Without His word governing your life, you become vulnerable to the world. You become vulnerable to the enemy. And unfortunately, without His word governing your life, we even become vulnerable to ourselves, the flesh. We need to see it this morning because God intends for His word to govern our lives. Did you know that your life is going to be governed by something? And for a lot of people, until they encounter God and they make Him Lord of their life, they're really just governed by themselves, governed by selfish ambition and just governed by what they want. Let me just break it down right quick this morning and just tell you this. The selfish pursuit of your own desires in this life is always going to be a dead end full of strife and trouble. And until you encounter God and make Him the Lord over your life, and until you decide that His word is going to govern over your life, you're going to continue to spin your wheels and have trouble, back-to-back-to-back issues. But you know what? When His word is applied to your life, you know where to go when you need answers. And you can finally stop that destructive cycle of trial and error in your life. Anybody listening to me this morning? Amen. So this morning is a simple, simple message. Some of y'all are going to think, what is he talking about? It's a simple four steps. I just want to show you today something so simple. Just four. It's kind of like four little tests today of whether or not Jesus is at the center, whether or not His word is governing your life. Are y'all ready for this? It's going to be so simple, guys, but I want to just confront us with this concept today because God has some growth for us today. Who's ready to grow this morning? All right, four keys. I want you to see this today. Number one, when Jesus is at the center of your life, number one, His word is your authority. Everybody say authority. Here's what the word says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, "For the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and the spirit, of joints and marrow, of discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." When Jesus is at the center of your world, His word is your real authority. Did you know that you cannot just choose to disobey the real authority? I encountered some real authority one day in my life. I want to tell you this little quick story to help illustrate this. You know, authority came to me one day because I had a crash. Now, I was sitting still in my car. I drove an old car that you'd be ashamed to be seen in. This one, Karen and I were really young. And we lived on Whites Mill Road in Cottondale, Alabama. Don't worry about it. You don't know where it's at. I promise. And I'm on my way home from work one day, and I had to turn left onto our dirt road driveway to get up to our house. And there's exactly what happened. I'm sitting still with my blinker on, trying to turn left, waiting for traffic to clear so that I could turn left. And I looked at my rearview mirror, and coming down upon me was a beautiful, brand new Lincoln Town Car. And I did not have time to react. I couldn't turn left, and the woods were to my right, so I braced for impact. And I saw that car coming, and I realized, she don't see me. I'm about to get hit. So I gripped the wheel really hard, and I just kind of bared down, and all of a sudden, wham! And this precious little lady had just run right into me. And look, this car didn't have an airbag. I was thankful that it even had a seatbelt, okay? You wouldn't want it. Trust me. She ran right into me, and I wasn't hurt. She wasn't hurt, but I felt so sorry for her little, her big, huge, wonderful, beautiful Lincoln Town Car, because, man, it was rough. Okay, and so we sat there. She started fussing at me, and why didn't you turn? And why were you sitting in the middle of the road? And she just didn't get it, you know. And I had my blinker on, and I said, "Well, I was trying to turn, and you didn't see me." Just a few minutes later, the state trooper pulled up, and I saw what real authority looks like, because this woman, she was not willing to submit to the authority on sight. And so she had her window down, and she was just fussing with the state trooper, and she was saying, "I've got somewhere to go." And she would say, "I need you to hurry up." And I was over there giving him my report and this kind of thing. And she would just continue to hound this officer. And she just continued to just pick at him and say, "You know what? I don't think," and here's what she said. She said, "I don't think he had his blinker on." And that was the last straw. That state trooper demonstrated authority. Who knows what I'm talking about, guys? I'll never forget it, because I felt bad for the little lady. That state trooper went over there, and he took his hat off, and he stuck his head in the window of that car. And he looked at that lady, and he said, "You know what, lady? You're going to shut your mouth." That's what he said. "You're going to shut your mouth. You're not going anywhere. He had his blinker on. He was about to turn, and you rammed into him. This wreck is your fault. You're not moving anywhere until the wrecker comes and moves his car, and you write that wrecker a check, because I'm writing it up as your fault. Sit still and shut up." That's what he told her. And she shut up. Amen. Thank God. I felt pretty good after that. I was like, That's what you get for hitting my Ford Escort. There you go. That's good stuff. No, I didn't have a bad attitude about it. But what happened there was authority stepped in and dictated the situation. And sometimes in this life, guys, we need to be reminded that God doesn't intend for us to do things our way. He intends for His Word to be that kind of authority in our life. Let me encourage you with this thought this morning. If you are in the habit of doing things your own way and trying to figure out what's going to make you feel better or how you're going to get what you want, the better thing is to let His Word be your authority and go to His Word and do what His Word says. Because there are consequences to not obeying the authority. We call that rebellion. Everybody say rebellion. Come on. We call that rebellion. And if Jesus is going to be the center of your world and of your life, you need to understand that His Word is meant to be the authority in your life. That means to rule over you, to preside over your life. God doesn't intend for His Word just to be an option. No, God intends for His Word to be the authority that rules you, so that you know exactly what to do every time with every instance that comes up into your life. Can y'all receive it this morning? "Pastor, why are you training on this?" I'm training on it because I've found out some things in my own life. I know y'all don't believe this, but I've had some seasons of rebellion in my life. Y'all believe that? Come on. I've had some seasons of rebellion when I didn't want to do what the authority said to do. And I found out that when I do what I want rather than what God's Word says, I always make things worse and get in some kind of trouble. Come on. But thank God for His forgiveness, because when we mess it up, all we've got to do is go to Jesus and say, "Lord, I messed it up all over again, and I need You to forgive me just one more time, Lord." And He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Amen, everybody. Come on. His Word is meant to be your authority in your life, not just an option. His Word is meant to be the authority in your life. Come on, apply that today and see a change right now. Amen, everybody. Number two, when He is at the center, His Word governs your actions. I got to slow down and let you think about this one. When he is at the center of your life, his word is what governs your actions. This is a problem for a lot of people because most people, until they grow in the word of God and grow in the word of the Lord, what really governs their actions is how they feel and what they want. But your feelings and your desires are unfaithful and unsteady guides in your life. We need to see this. I picked a scripture that's unusual for this, his word governing our actions. Here's what Jesus said. He said, John 10:27. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. It's the word of Jesus. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. What does that have to do with his word governing your actions? Because part of being governed by the Lord is hearing his voice. God intends for his word to be your authority and his voice to be your input. Sometimes people come to me for advice. They want to know how to handle the situation, or they want to know what they should do in this scenario or that scenario. But church, let me tell you this. Sometimes before you go to anybody else, make sure you go to Jesus first. Hear the Lord, man. Pastor, it's hard for me to hear the Lord. How do you hear the voice of the Lord? Well, I can tell you this. The voice of the Lord comes to us, guys, in various ways. I've talked to some people who say that they hear the word of the Lord audibly. They can hear God talking to them. But his voice isn't supposed to be treated like any other person. His voice is supposed to be how we sit up and we do what he says to do. Sometimes people hear him audibly. Sometimes people hear him because he speaks to them in their heart. For me, I feel like God influences me with his voice in my spirit. He just kind of touches my life and says, okay, son, this is how I want you to respond or what I want you to say. I've asked the Lord over the time, over my life, Lord, why do you speak to me inside in my spirit and my heart and influence me on the inside? And I realized something. It's because he knows that I need to feel his touch when he speaks to me. Praise God. He gets my attention. He draws me from the inside. His most primary way of speaking to all of us is by his word. But you know that you are his sheep because you hear his voice and you follow what he says. If he's going to be the center of your life and his word is going to govern your actions, you need to understand that our responsibility as his children is to step up and shine when he calls, like the good shepherd. We are likened unto a flock of sheep who follow the shepherd. Sometimes, though, his children are rebellious sheep who don't do what the shepherd says. Love me anyway. Come on. It reminds me of my dog. I've got a dog. Karen and I've got a dog named Leo. He's a big, fuzzy dog, and he's very, very stubborn. He's only 5 months old. And so we've already learned, though, that when Leo wants what he wants, that's what he's going to do. Okay? So sometimes he's in the backyard. It's time to come in. And we'll call him and say, come on. We need you in here. We need you to do this. It's time to eat or whatever. And he does this thing that he does. Leo will get up and he'll look at you as if to say, do I really want to do what you say right now? And every now and then you can get him to walk up across the driveway and halfway to the door. And then he'll just kind of sit there and look at you again. And he'll say, are you sure that's what you want me to do? And I'm like, dog, you better come on. I thought about that this week when I wrote this message because I think a lot of us are like that with God. The Lord can be speaking something into our lives and God could be telling us to do something or to make a certain decision or make a better decision or a great choice over a situation. And some of us, here's the problem. Y'all ready for this, guys? I don't know if I'm going to get this preachy this morning. The reason why we don't initially respond to the voice of Jesus sometimes is because Jesus is telling us to do something opposite of what we want to do. When God's word and his voice contradict your own desires, we go slow, don't we, guys? That's not his plan for our life. If he's going to be the center of your world and his word is going to govern your behaviors and your actions, we need to be trained to understand and be familiar with his voice. And when he calls and when he says to do something, we need to shape up and say, okay, Lord, what is it you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What's the decision in this situation? You can hear the Lord. How many realize he'll talk to you? He'll talk to you. He'll influence you. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not yet a believer and you're maybe distant from God and it's been too long since you heard the voice of the Lord. Well, let me tell you this morning, all you got to do is call on him and he will answer you. We talked about that yesterday during that fantastic prayer meeting. We have a first Saturday prayer meeting in this church. Everybody should be here to that prayer meeting. But when you call on him, he is faithful to come to you. Jeremiah chapter 33 says it like this, call on me, says the Lord, and I will answer you, and I will come to you, and I will show you those things which you do not yet know. Come on, somebody. He's faithful. Call on him, and he will answer you. The center of it all. So we've seen these tests this morning. It's kind of like a test of whether or not Jesus is truly the center of your life. His word is your authority, and when he's the center of everything in your life, his word governs your actions. Look at number three. When he's at the center, you can pass the real test of love. Now, I'm going to show you what that real test is right now, because this one's the one that's going to challenge most of us. This one's going to help us understand some things about whether or not we're as close to the Lord as we need to be this morning. It's the real test of love. Jesus described it in John chapter 14, verse 23 and 24. Here's what he said. He said, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my word. Come on, somebody. Right there, everybody in the building this morning should begin looking inside and wondering whether or not this scripture defines our walk with Christ. This is the real test of whether or not he's at the center of your life. Jesus put a big condition on whether or not you truly love him. He just said, you know what? If you love me, you'll do my word. If you don't love me, you won't do my word. Don't you love it when the Lord is as plain as day? I mean, he explained it better than I ever could to this church. It's a huge, practical, real test of whether or not he is at the center of our life. It's the way he judges whether or not you're close enough to him. Now, the concept here is very simple. Jesus has laid out his word. He's given us his voice. He's given us instructions. He's given us the law of God. He said, you know what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Come on. These things you will do if you love him. It's the real test of love. I hope that we all pass this real test of love, because the Lord laid it out black and white. Sometimes in our life, this is one of the negotiations that we have with ourselves and with God. We like to try to curl up to things and ideas and behaviors that may or may not be obedient to the word of Jesus. That's not just a right or wrong decision, church. That is a decision that dictates whether or not you love him. Oh. And we've got to understand it this morning, because I can't tell you, I would not even be a responsible, loving pastor if I didn't break it down this simply this morning. Next time you are challenged, or next time you are tempted, next time your flesh rises up within you and challenges you to do something your way, to say something that you want to say rather than say what Jesus would have you say, understand that it's not just a pass or fail scenario. It's a love him or don't love him scenario. This is the test that determines where we are with Jesus. I can't repeat it enough, guys. I want you to see it this morning, how simple it is. This little test today. Is he at the center? Is his word your true authority? Does his word govern your actions? And does your obedience level reflect that you love him? Is anybody listening to me this morning? Are y'all receiving it today, guys? There's one more. There's just one more before we pray. I'm going to show you something very carefully. And this is number four. When he is at the center and his word is governing your life, his word is your source. Come on, everybody say, my source. Here's what the Lord taught in John chapter 15. He said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. When he is at the center of your world, when his word is governing your life, you understand that your source comes from his word. Pastor Brandon, what do you mean my source? I mean your source for everything that you can't supply yourself. Amen. He's the source of your joy. He's the source of your power. He's the source of your strength. He's the source of your peace. He's the source of your patience. He's the source of everything that you can't supply yourself, or some other person cannot supply you. When he is at the center of your world, he becomes the source of everything that you need. Yes. Pastor, I'm so hurt over something somebody else did to me or said about me or did in my world. Listen, stop letting that person be your source and trust in the source that'll never let you down. Come on. But I thought it was going to be this way, and I thought, I'm so disappointed over that. Listen, stop letting that thing be your source and put your faith and your hope and your in the one that supplies you with everything that you need. Pastor, I'm burnt out. I feel like I'm all used up. I feel this way and that way. Listen, stop pulling from within thinking that you are your own source. Your power alone is never going to get it done. Just like Jesus said, you can't bear fruit. The branch can bear no fruit unless it stays in the vine. It's a metaphor for me and you. You and I will be fruitless and powerless unless we stay connected, deeply connected with Jesus. What does that look like in our life? It looks like this. It looks like, well, stuff's going on around me, but I'm into Jesus, so I know where my source of my peace comes from. Amen. Yes. Yes. I'm going through something tough in my life, but I know that I'm tapped into Jesus, and he's the true vine. I'm just a branch. He's the vine giving me my nutrients and giving me my sustenance, and he's giving me all the strength and the power that I need. I'm not pulling from within me. I can't run out because he don't run out. I can't be defeated because the one I'm tapped into, the one I'm connected to, he's never lost a battle. You can't slow me down and you can't stop me. I don't stand alone. I know where my source comes from. Am I talking to anybody this morning? I told you it was going to be simple this morning, but I'm telling you the truth. He intends for his word to govern your life. What does that look like, man? It looks like when you've got a tough decision to make, church, you don't try to reason it out on what's best for you and best for everybody. No, you stop spinning those wheels and you go to the Word of God and you crack open the Bible and say, you know what? Why don't I just go to the source and figure out what God has to say about it? But hear me. It's not enough to be able to go to the Word. It's not even enough to be able to hear His voice. Because if you don't apply what the Word says and do what He says, you're wasting your time. Hear me, somebody. It's a wonderful thing to go to the Word of God. But here's what a lot of people do. A lot of people go to the Word of God. They find out what Jesus says. And then they close the book and they say, now let me reason whether or not I like that option. Yeah. Y'all know I'm right about it. Let me figure it out and make sure that God's word is exactly what I need. Let me reason it out. Let me balance this and make sure that His way and His word and His instructions fit into my plan. Y'all ain't hearing me this morning. No. Let me tell you, if that's what you do, get ready for a long life of struggle and trouble and one issue after another and strife and bitterness and unforgiveness. Come on, somebody. No, He's your source. He's your authority. He's governing you. That means that He intends to preside over you. That's what the Lord means when He says, I'm the Lord. Hear me. I'm the Lord. Can y'all receive it this morning, guys? Is it too practical this morning? I want you to get a hold of it. I'm the Lord. What does it look like? One more time. It looks like, well, somebody did this or somebody hurt me. This happened to me. And you got options there. You can spend years of your life with the enemy tricking you into thinking that people are your problem. We can go back to Ephesians and realize what the Word of God says from 2 weeks ago. You don't wrestle with flesh and blood. You wrestle with principalities and powers and spiritual places. And you apply the Word of God because it's your authority. Let me say it like this and we'll close. I want to show you something real quick today. We have to take responsibility for how we respond to the Word of God. When His Word says to behave a certain way, to treat people a certain way, to serve a certain way, to give a certain way, to live a certain way. And we align that word with our hearts and our minds. We're showing Jesus some things. We're showing Him that we love Him. He said, if you love me, you'll do my word. If you don't love me, you won't do my word. What this boils down to is this. Jesus can be the center of everything. Watch this closely. We're going to be done. Because He's the answer to everything. Pastor Brandon, I'm having a hard time obeying the word in this particular area. What's my problem? You need to fall more deeply in love with Jesus. Pastor Brandon, I'm having a hard time forgiving this person or that person. But His word says if I don't forgive, then the Father won't forgive me. What's my answer? It's hard. What's your answer? Fall more in love with Jesus. Whatever your issue is, if our behaviors are counter to what he said, your answer is fall more in love with Jesus. Come on, everybody say Jesus this morning.
Jesus.
Jesus. That's our answer to everything. More of you, Jesus. Just more of you, Jesus. More of you, Jesus. Pastor Brandon, I'm having a particular problem with an area of sin in my life, and I mean, I just can't do it, can't shake it. It has a hold of me. Listen, what's my answer? I've tried doing the scripture. I've tried this, and I know what the word says about it, and I've been battling it for years. Listen, your deliverance isn't going to come because you become more masterful at observing religious duties to do more lawful things from scripture. Your answer is going to come when you fall more in love with Jesus. That's the key, isn't it, guys? If you love me, you'll do my word. Let's take a journey of transformation this morning with four questions. Our challenge today is simple. We're going to embrace this challenge of joy, the challenge and the joy of being governed by his word. Do y'all realize you can't go wrong doing what God says to do? Sometimes people won't like it. Most of the time, there'll be somebody that don't like it when you obey Jesus. They don't understand. Look at these four questions. Number one, is his word your real standard and authority? Two, are your actions and decisions governed by what his word says? Let me elaborate for a moment. That means this. That means when you go and you face a problem, do you go to scripture and say, this is what the Bible says, so this is what I'm going to do? When you feel a certain way, do you go to the Bible and say, this is what scripture says, so this is going to be my approach to this problem? I'm just disciple making this morning. I want to grow you today. Watch closely. Is that word governing your life? Or are you like most people and negotiate? And here's a good one right here. We're going to wrap things up, but watch this. I know people who have a problem with another person. And they'll let that problem with a person fester. Y'all know that word fester? It's a nasty word, ain't it? But they'll do it. That problem with an individual fester. Because they'll hold it inside and they'll do everything the opposite of what the Bible says to do. They'll go talk about it to this person and talk about it to this person. And they'll rehearse about all that happened. And then it'll turn into something nasty. It could take years. I've seen it like this. People will sit on this side of the church and never come in that door. And somebody will come in that side of the church and never come in that door. Because of something that happened 5 years ago between somebody, and he sits over here and he sits over here. Guys, we got to be more mature than this. Don't let it fester. What did Jesus say to do? Matthew chapter 18. The Lord said, if you have aught against your brother, what do you do? Go to the person. I'm so glad Jesus didn't say, go to your buddies and talk about him. Come on now. Jesus said, go to the person. Work it out. If he hears you, what's the result? You've gained a brother. So simple. So simple. Number three, Does your obedience to his word reflect that you love him? It's the most challenging question of the day. In other words, are you his sheep? Are you one of his sheep today? Do you rely on his word as your source for faith in life? Is he your source this morning? More of Jesus is the answer. Come on, somebody. Can we just spend a few minutes getting more of Jesus right now? Whatever it is, your answer is more of Jesus. More of you, Jesus. More of you, Jesus. Can I please have heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment?
Hey everyone, Pastor Kevin here, and I'm so excited that you came to worship with us today. My prayer is that something in this service, whether through worship or the word, changed you and gave you hope for the week. If you'd like to share that opportunity with us or whatever's happened in your life, there's a QR code that's going to appear on the screen. Just scan that code and it'll take you to our Connect card. We'll connect with you and you have chances to leave all kind of notes or prayer requests that we can gather together and pray with you about throughout the week. Thank you again so much for worshiping with us. We hope you have a great day.